And if you would, sir, start us off in prayer.
Yes, sir. Father Creator, in the name of Jesus, hear our prayer. Thank you for all those who are standing for truth and are rebuking Babel across this land. United and with your purpose, we are strong. Thank you for sending leaders among us to teach and put current events into perspective for us so that we may watch and warn others. Thank you for a strong military chock full of patriots and veterans that would lay their lives down for American freedom and liberty. Watch over your public, Father, and send help to us when we are in need. We pray for the release of the J6 incarcerated people, for they have been political prisoners for far too long. So bring them home to their families soon, Father. We pray for dumb protection that is impenetrable by the enemy around us, around our presidents, around our true military, around our prophets, and around patriots and Christians all around the world and everyone on this call, Heavenly Father. Also, Father, we ask that you give us provisions and wisdom needed to carry out your plan and to restore our God-given, unconstitutional, rule-of-law-deserved republic. So thank you, Father. I ask that you God save the children, God save the republic, God save America, Canada, and the descendants of the 12 tribes of Israel. We ask this in the mighty name of Yeshua. Thank you, Father. Amen.
Thanks, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well, hello, everybody. Tonight is December the 15th. This will be our last judicial call of this year. We will start back on the 5th of January. And I need all of you guys to do something for me. There's a lot of talk going on in the upper echelon of the Republic about whether we should go Zoom or stay on the cell phone. So I need you guys to vote for me, and I need you to email me and either yes or no on Zoom. You don't have to make a long letter type thing out of it. Just yes Zoom or no Zoom's fine, and I'll tally them up, and then if we get a majority of people that want Zoom, then we'll go ahead and on the 5th of January, we'll go Zoom. It will be a Republic Zoom link, so it won't be a private type, you know, Zoom. And that way every call will be recorded. That doesn't make any difference how far down the road you are. You can still access any of the calls. So that's the one advantage of it that we will have. So anyway, just think about that. You got about 2.5 weeks to decide how you want to do that. And just let me know by email. Tonight, we're going to talk about a couple of things that are important. You guys can spend the next couple weeks looking this over, researching, studying if you want. It's something that we all are going to have to know. The first thing I want to go over, something that we learned way back in 2009. My wife and I got into this in July and August of 2010. And this was one of the first things that they taught us and told us that we need to know and understand. The United States Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, says, and I quote, "The United States shall guarantee to every state in this union a republican form of government, and shall protect each of them against invasion, and on application of the legislature or the executive when the legislature cannot be convened, against domestic violence." Now, this is what the Constitution states. Section 4, Article 4, Section 4. The law of the Constitution, which is the highest law in the land, says that whoever is in the seats of authority in the national or the federal government, they are to ensure the fact that the state of Texas, Alaska, Hawaii, Indiana, Missouri, Minnesota, Maine, whatever state it may be in, that they have a republic form of government, and they are to protect, especially the border states, from invasion. So I ask, the White House that's about to end, have they kept this law of the Constitution, or have they broken it? Well, from day one that Biden stepped into his fake office, he wrote a number of executive orders that canceled everything that Trump did the previous 4 years. He opened up the border, appointed Kamala, as borders are, and I know she's that because I watched that news conference that stated that she had been appointed to that very office, and her job was to oversee the border, which she did a very effective job if you want to invade the homeland. They did not keep this law, and I can say it's a law because, you see, it's in the Constitution. Now, they have what they call codes and statutes under the UCC, and those aren't laws. They're codes. A code and a law are opposite of each other. But they have not kept this promise. They have not kept their obligation to fulfill the Constitution. And both took an oath to the Constitution, and therefore they have committed treason by doing such acts. They burnt down 5 cities. They created havoc in almost 70 cities right before the election and then after the election. When COVID and everything was shut down, they created havoc with Antifa and with Black Lives Matter. And I got this image in my head very vividly of a street up, and I believe it was the Twin Cities there in Minnesota. There was a riot going on, and this big old woman from Black Lives Matter walked up to a table where an elderly couple was eating their dinner and just ate something off the guy's plate and took the woman's drink and gulped it half down and slammed it on the table, and the drink went everywhere and walked on like she was some big shot. Well, my Marine Corps experience from back in the 70s would have told me that the big shot should have come from a rifle and put her down on the ground, because that particular act is a violent act of, you know, in the domestic realm. And what did it say? That the state is supposed to be protected against domestic violence. Well, what do you think happens when you have an invasion? You have domestic violence. The two go hand in hand. You can't separate one from the other. So for the last 4 years, you and I have seen the Biden administration spit on the graves of every soldier that died in combat protecting that Constitution, You've seen them snicker, laugh, lie about the Constitution, telling you and me that, oh, the southern border is protected, it's closed, when it was wide open and 5,000 to 10,000 a day were coming across. I'll be so glad to get rid of Biden. The angels in heaven are going to rejoice when his term is over. And I can almost tell you what to expect. And no human being needs to do this. You know, one of the functions of Michael, the archangel, and his band of angels in heaven is to wage war against those that are the enemy of God. Michael is the war angel. Whenever you have a situation in your life where you fear for your life and you are spared, that was because Michael and his angels stepped in and took care of it. They are also the same type of angel, which is a cherub, four wings, four faces, that will dish out punishment on those. They have been known in the past, in the Old Testament, to kill whole hordes of military people all in one night, like with Gideon. 275,000 people died in one night by the hands of just one angel. Biden is at the age and he's at the mental capacity to where he could go at any time. But just like Satan has always done and always will do, he'll use somebody until they are no longer needed. And that contract that that person signed with blood for power and recognition and wealth is over, and they die. I would expect Biden within the first 3 months of him getting out of office to either wind up in a coma or dead because Satan's done with him. Now, to back up kind of what I'm saying, our particular law form in this republic starts out with the Bible, the very word of the living God. His actual name is Yahweh. Some people call him Yeshua. That's the Christ, his son. But all moral law comes from the Bible. Now, with that comes along the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution for the United States, the Bill of Rights, and now our DSI, the Declaration of Sovereign Intent. When we adopted those back in November 14th, 2010, our law form in this republic was set in stone. We can't change it. We can't alter it. We can't do anything of the such. Because to the world, we have re-inhabited our founding fathers' republic, their documents, and their law form. That's what the DSI claims. For us to alter it, change it in any way, then simply means we have changed our nation. We have altered our republic form of government and went to something new. And that's why we couldn't allow the nation state folks. We couldn't allow any other type of so-called government people to come in, to take it over, because it would be a brand new law form. We are not in the business of making something new. We are in the business of restoring and re-inhabiting what the founders started, simply because God in heaven altered time and essence of the founders, and they set up the kingdom of God as a government on this earth. That's why the Bill of Rights is something that no man can take away, because man didn't bring it to man. It's God's. That's why the Constitution is written in such a way where you have three branches of government, not four, not one, but three, just as there is a Father, Son, and Spirit. It's like water. Water in the liquid form is H2O. Put it in a container and throw it in a freezer, it's still H2O, but now it's ice. Heat it up, it's still H2O, but now it's steam. The same element, H2O, in three different forms, each with its own function. Thus, the Godhead that we serve has all three functions working together, and the founders wrote the Constitution based on that same idea. Three branches, all different, but yet working together. Then you add that element called the church. And I've asked this a few times, I'll say it again. If there was no such thing as church and state, I could see having to make a law from the Supreme Court, not the legislature. They could never get that passed in Congress, so they went to the Supreme Court and had the Supreme Court side in the liberal favor, and thus now all of a sudden we had a separation of church and state. If what Hillary Clinton and Obama and Biden and Harris all say is correct, then there was always a church and a separation of church and state. So why then did they have to make a law through the Supreme Court to separate them? You don't need to make a law on something or against something if it's already separated. Why did they have to do that? Because it was originally all the same. You could not separate the church from the state, and you couldn't separate the state from the church. We live in a human body. That human body requires us to live, to breathe. We have blood flowing through our veins. We are required to eat, to put energy inside this body. You can't separate them. They were created and built originally to all function together. You separate them, you kill it. And when they separated the church and state, they killed this nation. It didn't quite die, but it was on its back taking its last breaths until we came along in 2010. Now, U.S. Code, Title 28, 3002. This is what it says. Number 15 under 3002 says, the United States means A, federal corporation, B, an agency, department, commission, board, or other entity of the United States, or C, an instrumentality of the United States, kind of like agencies such as the IRS is a self-regulatory agency. The EPA is a self-regulatory commission, meaning they can change their laws as they go. If a law that they made last year all of a sudden this year isn't working, well, they can make a new one up without Congress. Self-regulatory. I don't know what's going to happen, but I do know that Trump has promised to get rid of all of the self-regulatory commissions somewhere within the first 100 days. And that would include the EPA and the IRS. And when the IRS goes, so does the IMF, and so goes the Federal Reserve. Now, anybody ask you, well, what do you mean that government is a corporation? U.S. code, that is their law. Not ours, theirs. One other one I'm going to present to you, and this is not on the paper I sent out, but it's USC, United States Code, Title 18, number 1531. We hear so much argument from the left all of our lives about abortion. And oh, how they can't take that away. And oh, when Harris ran for president, she was all about killing babies. Well, and they say that you have to follow the law. The law gave you permission to kill babies. Sometimes, even after they're born and outside the womb, you just walk out, leave it there, and let them starve to death in the first couple hours. That's their idea, to supposedly saving the life of a mother, where 99.9% of every 100 abortions have nothing to do with saving the life of a mother. It's just that the inconvenience of being a mother at age 15, 16, whatever. But USC 1531 says that if any physician is killing the life of a fetus inside the womb, he can be charged, didn't specify amount to be paid, and or 2 years in the penitentiary, that'd be the federal, per charge. When you add them up over the last 60-some years, it would have been over 40,000 physicians in America, just in America, that have killed babies in the womb through an abortion. Now, it also states in that same group that for the purpose of national making money, transporting it through the mail system. Well, how do you think after the abortion is done and they take the brain out, the spinal column, they take the adrenaline cone, they take that out, they harvest the organs. How do you think they transport all that from a hospital or a doctor's office to a lab, and from the lab to the next place it needs to go? You know that in the year that we started this republic in 2010, a brain of an infant, a fetus still in the womb, was worth $3,000. to get stem cells from that brain would also be worth more than $5,000 apiece. And we know that, for instance, the Hollywood elite, they all use that thing called adrenochrome. Keeps them nice and young and healthy. It's in their skincare. It's in their makeup. They pay big prices for it. But that's where that comes from. Boy, you take that away from them, and they will get angry. Thus, you saw what happened across the country this last election. The left was in an uproar because, well, Trump got rid of Roe v. Wade, and then now they're trying to take care of the rest of it all together, when really all Trump did was bring it back to the states where it belongs. I guess they haven't yet read the Constitution, the 10th Amendment, where it says whatever's not written in this Constitution belongs to the state. No, their argument was he did away with it completely. We're all useless now. We can't produce what we need to stay young. It's okay to kill babies to stay young. That's their argument. This is what the left does. By the way, I can't remember where it's at. I believe it's somewhere in Ecclesiastes, one of those books right after Psalms, where it says the left will do things that will cause harm because they sin against the Creator. That's why the left in today's political movement is always anti-God, anti-Christ, anti-church. Now, this is something that I want you guys to go over while we're taking our half a month vacation. The Republic court system. When I go over this, I want you to just think that everything I say, it ended in 1860. Right at the end of the year 1860, it ended. And beginning in 1861, we in the Republic view that as a corporate takeover, and thus the laws turning into codes were illegal and unlawful, and therefore we can't use them. So, if you've ever watched an episode of Law and Order or something like that, every time they make an arrest, they go through this little process called the Miranda Law. You have the right to remain silent. You have the right to an attorney. You have this and that. Well, that wasn't instituted in the court system until 1961. That's 100 years after 1861. And therefore, the Republic can't use that, unless our Congress brings it back and updates it to the modern time that we live in now. But figure it out. That's 63 years ago that went into effect. So no more Miranda Law once we're stood up. You know how many actual criminals and murderers that got off because a cop forgot to read that to them when they got arrested? So the court dropped the case. Won't be happening anymore. There is no life sentencing from a jury in the Republic. If you're convicted, all prison sentences shall always be 1, 3, 5, or 7 years or death. There will be no federal appeals court. If a state court finds somebody guilty, or a county court, They can only go up to the state Supreme Court. That's as high as they can go for an appeal. There will be no tax courts of any kind because there will not be any IRS. Every judge, that's us, we will have a copy of our oath on behind you where you sit in the courtroom, behind every judge's bench will be your oath of office. Every judge will be required to wear a dark blue or black vest as part of the judge's wardrobe. You will never, ever place a robe on your body to go to work in the court. All judges, actually all workers in the court, that includes the clerk, the stenographer, everybody that works for the court, can carry their own open firearm, handgun. We will also have county officials like sheriff's department that will be the bailiffs. They will also carry a weapon. We understood back in 2014 that when we get our code of ethics, there was going to be some people when they have to go to court, they're going to try the system. Now, if you are okay personally carrying a weapon with you, you do not need to conceal it. You do not need to keep it in the drawer with the bullet 6 feet away from the gun. No, that thing can be fully armed, cocked, ready to go at a moment's notice. You've seen those clips on TV where in the corporation, some idiot loses his mind and charges the judge. In the Republic, if that ever happened, you as a judge have every right to defend yourself. There is no bar, so to speak, in the courtrooms of the Republic, that little gate you got to go through to get to your seat up there by the judge. No, that ain't going to happen. That's not going to be there. So it's going to be open. You cannot, as a judge, change the jury's findings. If they say the man is not guilty, then he's just not guilty. If the jury says he's guilty, you can't change it. I don't care if he's your neighbor, your brother, or whatever. He cannot be changed by you as a judge. If something like that was to happen, the rest of us judges would hear about it, and according to the ethics that we have within the judicial, if we can't settle it, then we'll take you, whoever commits this crime, and put you up under Congress in the Senate under the Judicial Committee, and they will determine what needs to be done. You are, however, allowed to go out and seek advice from other judges, even if it's out of your state. There's nothing wrong with talking to other judges. You don't want to talk about the intimate details of the case, but hey, what would you do if you were found in this decision? That's okay for you to do. See, we're not going to have 60 books up on your wall on a bookcase that gives you your state's law. No. That's corporate law, and that's just not us. So, every judge in the republic, I don't care if they're Supreme Court, District Court, I don't care if they're State Supreme, County, whatever, are required to be on a national call or Zoom or whatever it may be twice a month to update ourselves on what's going on around the country. Just because you live in a border state out west doesn't mean you don't need to know what's going on in the state of Maine. Because what people are doing there is going to wind up going to where you're at eventually. And you need to be made aware of it. There is no traffic court. There are no traffic tickets. No traffic stops by any law enforcement. If someone causes an accident, hurt or not hurt, then law enforcement, the county sheriff and his department will determine if that person that caused the accident needs to be arrested. Somebody dies during that, there will be an arrest made. A jury of your peers will say guilt or no guilt. Each judge shall have 1 month off per year for a vacation and 1 month per year of no court. But that means that you are still going to work because you have to get the next sessions and all the dockets ready to go. Each judge shall be in charge of the court he or she sits on the bench in. So as a judge, whether you're county or state, you top dog. You are responsible for the people that work under you in that courtroom. If somebody starts yelling and screaming at somebody, it's your responsibility to fix it. You have the right to fire somebody if you, the judge, appoints them. If they are voted into office, it's a little bit different. You can't fire them in that sense because they were voted in by the people, and the people are the ones to fire them. Now, the Supreme Court will make sure that the 1871 Act of the District of Columbia is reversed. Now, Mark sent me a notation, and yes, I agree. It's on the original Republic website. One of the things the first Congress did back in the 2010-2012 range when they were meeting is they wrote up something that would completely, with the vote and the signature of the Senate pro tem, would do away with the entire 1871 Act. Now, they've already worded it, and they've tabled it. They needed people in the Senate to vote on it. Well, now we pretty much got a quorum. We're getting real close to being able to actually vote on it. But we can't vote until we're stood up. So, the Supreme Court will hold that all people that came into this nation illegally, even under the corporation, are here unlawfully, and each case will be reviewed, and those who have committed crimes will either be tried for their crimes and deported, or if they've committed murder, will be put to death. Rules of the Supreme Court Now, I want to make sure that everybody understands this. When I say rules of the Supreme Court, all courts fall under the Supreme Court. All courts. And the reason I say that is because I'm in Indiana, so the judicial branch only in Indiana has its own constitution to follow. However, that constitution mirrors the national constitution. So what the laws are of the Supreme Court and the nation's capital are also the laws of the county court. That way you have the same justice, the same system running from bottom up to the top and from the top down to the bottom, both ways, all the time. And if you walk into a courtroom in Marion, Indiana, but tomorrow you walk into one from Columbus, Ohio, they will be operating exactly the same way the Indiana court does. No different. This way you don't have rogue judges, rogue courthouses. And back in the 1800s, they had what they called the hanging judge. You knew if you got him and you were found guilty, you were going to die the next day. That was a given. This eliminates that to the point to where we don't have a bunch of rogue people out there acting like they're a judge and just putting people to death because they may have a fetish of watching people hang. The public will not operate that way. If an individual is found guilty of a high crime and the jury says they die, the judge is not responsible for that. The people are, the jury, because that's where the jury comes from, the people. The lawyers don't pick the jury. The county sheriff does, or the county marshal will, with a witness. Nothing is rigged about the court system, especially the way it is like on Judge Judy. By the way, I don't know if you know this, but about 45% of all her so-called cases on TV have been reversed by a higher court. So she ain't a very good judge. Okay, now you've got the dates, and I'm not going to read the dates. They're marked in red, rules of the Supreme Court. But it says, and this is what our founding fathers wrote down, found out, tried it. Some of them were repealed and new laws were brought forth. The court clerk cannot be a counselor for any case in the court. So that would be like your court clerk hearing a case and all of a sudden decided they were going to be a lawyer for one of the sides. Can't happen. Any counselor shall have 3 years experience in their state Supreme Court and shall conduct themselves professionally at all times. Now, let me explain that. You ever bought something like an iron at the store? And when you're reading the instructions, it'll say, do not put on your cheeks when hot. And you think to yourself, boy, that's really stupid. But somewhere down the road, somebody did that, and now they got to put that on the warning label. Same thing here. You got to act professionally at all times. Why? Because back in the day, you probably had judges and people that were representing somebody in the court who, you know, maybe went to work that day in their pajamas. I don't know. But they weren't acting professionally. So they had to make it a law that everybody in the court system will always look and act professional. Now, here's a big one. This one came out February 5, 1790. Counselors cannot be attorneys, nor attorneys as counselors. See Rule 14. No attorneys allowed. Now, you're going to find some of these rules where it talks about attorneys, but that's not the guy who's representing somebody who's a felon or up on charges of murder. No, that attorney is state's attorney general. Something completely different. Then we go into the oath for the counselors and attorneys. That would be the state attorney general or the national attorney general. All process of this court shall be in the name of the President of the United States until it shall otherwise be provided by law. Now, why is that? I thought the judicial system was different than the executive branch, legislative branch. It is. But the process, step by step, is in the name of the President of the United States. Why? Because the President in the executive branch is in charge of all law enforcement. He's in charge of the FBI. He's in charge of the CIA. He's in charge of all law enforcement. The governor of the state is in charge of all law enforcement in the state. The grand jury falls under the executive, not the judicial. That way, judges can't pick people to be on that jury that will send somebody to the court for a case and then get them convicted. That's not the way the system works. Law based upon the king's law in England. The Chief Justice, in answer to the motion of the Attorney General made yesterday, informs him there shall not be any bar inside any court inside the United States of America. Now, that's why I said when you go into a republic court, it's open in the front. There's no railing with a gate on it where you got to walk through. That's called the bar. And when you get on the side of that to where you're in the same arena as the judge, that's when bar attorneys take over. That's their home. In the Republic, well, if you're a barred attorney and you're trying to come in and do proceedings in the court, you may get shot. That's treason. And I'll tell you why. Because now you're taking gifts from the country of England and the king, which the Constitution specifically says you cannot do that. All the way down through all these, and it's about the majority of the document that we have, it tells you the process at common law or at equity. Now you need to understand, in the Republic, we are not common law. That's England. Common law brings on attorneys, not just lawyers. We are at law with equity, and we are all governed by biblical law. There's a difference between common law and equity. Common law and biblical law. Common law basically and most simply brings justice from just a few over the many. And it can be different from one county to the next. You steal a horse in this county and you get hung. You steal a horse in the other county, you only get 5 years. Difference in common law. Whereas biblical law is the moral high ground. We use biblical law because it brings on a morality in law as well as in government, both national, state, and county. Now, if, for instance, the clerk has a writ of error and shall be directed, they can make return to the same by transmitting a true copy of the record and all other proceedings in that cause under the hand and the seal of the court. Now, what does that mean? That means that if the county clerk writes something up on the docket that's wrong, then the court itself has to give permission for it to be corrected. Every month, a new docket gets thrown out in the front of the court so everybody sees it. That's the cases that they're going to bring forth in that courtroom. Now, if you read down through all this, there are some in red and some in blue, the dates. The reason I did that is because when we transitioned from the 1790s over to the 1800s, I used a different color so you can denote without really concentrating on it. It's now in the 1800s. And, of course, we only go to 1860. So just keep that in mind. Now, operations and procedures. This document is in standing with the Judicial Acts of 1789, 1837, and all laws that followed on or before December 31st, 1860. You can find all these things at www.constitution.org, US law/judiciary, 1789. Operations, the Judicial Act, 1789, Chapter 20. We copied this down from the very beginning, and this is the way we will start out. It may change through acts of Congress as we go on. But operations, the Judicial Act of 1789, hours of operation Monday through Friday, special hours, judges function, court clerk, court staff, and we go right on down the line. And here's what we got. You have to have an injured party to have a court case. I don't care what it is or who it is. A business whose states claim that somebody didn't pay their bill and wants to take that person to court is not, I repeat, is not a court case. Who's injured? Who? Did somebody get hit by a car, shot by a gun? Somebody get bit by a dog? What? No. They claim you didn't pay. They got to have hard evidence before it ever goes before a grand jury that so-and-so didn't pay their bill. You got to have proof of that. you got to have a copy of the receipt you wrote out to them when they bought the item. And you got to show through all your bills and stuff that you send out every month, they're missing. They didn't pay. It's a lot harder to prove that than a murder case or a child trafficking case. Now, I'm going to tell you something here that you might find a little hard to believe. In the Republic, we will be working with the United States Marine Corps. The U.S. Marine Corps are the president's own. Yes, they are a military branch. However, they work for the president. President is a civil authority. That's the realm of the states and the state courts. Civil authority. The Army, the Navy, the Air Force, and now the Space Force isn't like that, but the Marine Corps is. You know, before 1776, we had a Navy. It just wasn't called a Navy. It was called a military with boats. Until we broke away from England, that's when we came up with our own military. And it started with ground forces, which is Army, and it brought forth the Navy. Everything that we have in the military today is from either the Navy or the Army. The Air Force was birthed by the Army. It was called the Army Corps of pilots. It later came to be known as the United States Air Force. The Navy had always had the Marines, but the Marines are the ground forces of the Navy. When I got away from the ship and went on shore duty, I was so happy. But while I was on ship, I'd already done a tour with the United States Marine Corps. Now I joined the Navy, and I was on a ship that carried Marines anywhere in the world. We could bring on 600 Marines, house them, feed them, do all we need to do to preserve them till we get to the front that they're supposed to go to. That's called an amphibious ship. Amphibious meaning water and land. An alligator is an amphibious entity. Swims in the water, submerges in the water, and rests on the land. That's what the Marine Corps is. So, when the military was brought forth and started to get bigger and being broke down, we have, for the longest time, we had four branches. Trump, in 2017, brought forth the space agency, not NASA, but the Space Force. And we had a government military running the satellites and the rockets, the ICBMs, all that under the Space Force. Now, the reason I say that is because under the Republic, we will be working, especially the governors, they will have their own state militia. You can look at that today as the National Guard. Well, there won't be any National Guard when we're stood up. It'll be the state militia authorized by the state governor. The president, on the other hand, to keep the state secure, free, having a republic government, and keeping it from invasion, we'll have United States Marine Corps stationed all over the border states, especially to ensure the fact that that's the case, to make sure that people coming through Mexico don't happen to just slide right on in here and break the law coming into the country. I don't know what Biden is thinking, but if they're going to break the law to get here, don't you think they're going to break the law while they're here? I'm sorry, but when I was in school, 2 and 2 turned out to be 4. Under Biden, 2 and 2 is 5. And it just don't make sense. In your court, when you are ready for a court case, there are 2 juries involved. One is a grand jury, the other is a court jury. The grand jury is functioned in such a way to where you may have 100 members to it every year, and that changes every year. The people you have in your county will be summoned and notified that they will be on the grand jury of that county from January 1 to January 1, whatever. When it comes time to have a grand jury for that particular month, the sheriff or the marshal will go to the bottom of the basement area of the courthouse, and they will literally draw names of, we'll say, 50 or 55 members, and those 55 will be the grand jury plus the alternates. And every time there's a grand jury proceeding, that will take place out of that group of people that month. That way it's never always the same. But when it comes to a trial jury, that's a whole different animal. Those representing the plaintiff and the defendant don't get to choose the jury. That'd be a conflict of interest. So what happens is they get law enforcement down, the sheriff and usually a deputy, and they'll pick 12 jurors, and then they'll pick 4 alternates. And that will become your jury. The lawyers won't know who that jury is until they're ready to start their opening statements. And they will see that jury for the first time. That way, if the defense calls a jury member and says, "I like him," and the plaintiff interviews him and doesn't like him, we've got a conflict going on here. If you do it the way the law says, nobody has a conflict. As a jury member, you're there at your job. You're going to be there during the duration of the case. So what happens here during a procedure? Let's say you become an injured party. You may be in the hospital with injuries. Somebody may have mowed down 3 or 4 fence posts on your property and all your animals got out. Something to harm you that's going to cost you money to get fixed. You become an injured party. You write up a complaint and take it to the local DAs. They, in turn, will investigate whether or not what you are saying is true and actually happened. If they determine that, yes, it's true and it actually happened, then they will put together a case for the grand jury, and they will go for the grand jury, and they will present their case. Now, once that is done, and the grand jury hears all the evidence of that DA, and they come up with a true bill, then the DA takes that true bill and sends it over to the court. Whatever jurisdiction they are in, whether it be county, or state. The trial is set up. The trial jury is picked. The evidence is brought before the judge. Your job as a judge is to ensure the fact that all evidence brought to the court on this particular case deals with what we are talking about on the case. All witnesses that they bring must be in conjunction with this case. You can bring in character witnesses. You, as a judge, will determine how many witnesses you're going to allow. If you're going to bring in six or eight of the same type of people talking about the same thing, that's basically a waste of time. This way, both sides get an equal amount of time to present their case. Your job is a referee. Your job is to ensure the fact that if one side gets an hour, the other side gets an hour, if they want it. Your job is also that if they start going off the rails and talking about the last NFL game everybody saw, then that's not allowed. That's when you step up and say, that's not allowed in this court. Has nothing to do with the case or whatever. We are not legal experts. Understand that. We are lawful experts. Legal is corporate. Lawful is de jure. We do not hear a legal case. We hear a lawful case. Most of the cases, especially in the state courts, county courts, are only going to be 1 to 2 days. If there is a murder trial, that may go longer. You're going to have more witnesses or more evidence to deal with. Your job as a judge is to take notes during the case on what witness said what, how they worded it, how they phrased it. You also will have a stenographer who repeats everything everybody says, and it goes down on paper. Therefore, you have an exact transcript of everything said. If somebody sneezes, that may show up on the transcript. So, what we have here is we have a court case that's about to convene. You're the referee to ensure that both sides get equal time, starting with the opening statements, going through the witnesses and so forth. And then you allow closing statements. The closing statements should only last one day at most. And then the jury gets to go deliberate. Now, here's something that's very, very important. You as a judge, the biggest thing you can do in any court case is instruct the jury two things. One, they must assess the law to make sure that what the person is charged with is lawful. If they are charged with one thing and found guilty of something, did it match the law? Did it go with the law? Was it, if it was a murder, did it actually make the murder charge? Or was it something else? The second thing is, you as a judge are to instruct the jury that they can actually throw a case out if the charge is wrong. You can send a note back to the judge as a jury, all unanimous, that this whole thing was done wrong. You can also, as a judge, tell the jury, here in law is where this is found, this is found, this is found. We do not go by other court cases. We go by the case that's being heard. That's why you got 12 people sitting over there. We call a jury, and they're hearing everything that you are. And they're taking better notes than you are, probably. And when the time for them to vote on whether it's guilt or no guilt, they have everything said right in front of them, all 12 of them. You, as a judge, are not to dismiss them until they have a verdict. This helps eliminate a lot of bickering back and forth and weekends that are spent away from your families. You don't want to go so quickly that they'll just pass judgment one way or the other just so they can get home. But you will instruct them that they're not going home until they are unanimous or they become a hung jury. If they become a hung jury, then the state court will settle the dispute of a county court. The state Supreme Court, mentioned in your state constitutions, they don't hear divorce cases. They don't hear murder. They hear the state of whatever you are, whatever your state is. Colorado, California, Michigan, whatever. And it's dealings with the people versus the court or the court versus the people. That's all the state court does. Now, I know that what we have today in the corporation, boy, they are some busy people. Not that way in the Republic. 95% of all court cases you see on their dockets this next week, 95% of it gone. Non-existent. Why? No injured party. Now, closing arguments. The closing arguments are whoever represents both parties is going to have a chance to make those. They're going to recap the evidence that they had. They're going to recap the things that they can say or do as a jury member, what they can vote on. If you remember, Abraham Lincoln was a defense attorney. He did not ever work for the state itself. He was for the people. He defended the people. But he had one code that he always followed. If he knew the person was guilty, he wouldn't take the case. He would not defend somebody that was guilty and try to get them off. That was just something he always told his clients. Most attorneys we see today, they don't work like that. They get paid more money to get you off. So not only do you get off on a bunch of murder raps or thefts or whatever, but they just took your house, your car, probably your wife and kids and everything else. Because that's how they make their money. That's why, one reason, we in the Republic will never allow a corporate lawyer under the bar to hear our cases in the Republic. So, I'm going to stop for right now because it's 9:30 already. This is quite a lengthy page of notes. Take them, research them, follow them, learn them. These are things that we're going to have to know. Again, write me an email in the next 2 weeks. Let me know whether you would like to go with a Zoom call or you want to stay like it is now with these phone calls. I'll leave that up to you guys. So that's not the Democratic way to do it. That is the Republic way to do it. And in court, in case anybody does ask you, well, what's the difference between a democracy and a republic? It's very simple. A democracy is when mob rules. You get 8 out of 10 bad people all going the same way. That's the way a democracy goes. And it could be as bad as all get out. But that's the way the majority saw it. That's why in years past, you saw at the Supreme Court level in D.C., when it was talking about an abortion case or something, they would make sure that they had about 10,000 people standing and marching out there on the Supreme Court steps. So they would look out the window and see all these people for abortion. Well, where are the people against it? Well, they shoved them out of the way. They're not there. And that's how the Supreme Court would let go. That's not the way a republic works. Republic works on law, but it works on moral law. We will never discuss whether or not an abortion is lawful or legal. We will never discuss that because under moral law, it's wrong to murder somebody. Definition of alive is when you have a heartbeat. Definition of alive goes even back further than that. It's in the book of Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 100 is one of the areas where your bones are held together with ligaments and tendons. Well, that's a baby in the womb. So Jeremiah says that he knew us before we were even conceived. This republic will never, ever argue the fact of whether or not to have abortion or not to, because the moral law says no. And that's what we'll go by. So, Mark, I'm going to end it right there. If you want to let people start asking questions, we'll go that route. Thank you, everybody.
What's happening?
May I ask a question?
Sure.
Yeah, this is Kent on New York. I have three things that I'd like you to clarify, and then I have a question. Where does the Coast Guard fall in that military outline that you provided? Number two, in your original document. I'm sorry?
I didn't say anything.
Oh, can you still hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, okay. I heard somebody say muted. So the second part was I didn't hear anything about the Articles of Confederation. And thirdly, would you be just going back to the 18 original duties that the federal or the national government had? And then I have an additional question after you clarify those.
Okay. Well, your second part, we won't talk about the articles because the articles are no more. Constitution came through, the states verified it, ratified it, and what was written, some of what was written in the articles were brought forth to the Constitution.
With a person whose faith.
The Coast Guard, on the other hand, works for the national government. It's not part of the Navy. It's an independent agency, you might say, but they only control the 3-mile limit of the boundaries on the oceans. They're also in the Great Lakes. So they basically rule over the waterways. They could, if they wanted to go up and down the Mississippi, but they leave that to local jurisdictions. at least for maybe not so much down in New Orleans, but that's pretty much the way they operate. They are not part of the national military. And what was the third one you mentioned?
The third one was, will you be going back to just the 18 duties as originally outlined that the federal government or the national government would have charge of rather than all the things they do today?
Oh, no. No, the Republic will drop 99.9% of everything they do, period. Because I don't think we need to know the mating habits of different insects that they're spending $30, $40 million a year on. You know, just stupid stuff like that. That's so somebody can have a job and make more money than you for sitting on their butt and doing nothing. That's really what that amounts to.
So you're saying we would go back to the 18 duties as originally outlined, like the post office, the protection of the shores, et cetera.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
So my other question was, you were talking about how we need to have uniform court system and basically top down, and regardless of what goes on in the community or a county or the state, that all across the nation it must be uniform. So that's sort of a top-down position. Yet I hear you saying on the other issues that it's kind of bottom-up, that it has to be local. Can you distinguish or explain that a little better for me, please?
Yeah. Everything that the Republic does is bottom-up. It's always the power of the people. The people are the state, and the state are the people. Every document we've ever read, written in books or whatever from way back in the founders, always talked about how the state are represented by the people in that state. So you're not a national citizen, you're a state citizen. And at the same time, the national government, we call the federal, their only job to, function is to protect the states from invasion as a whole, as a union, and to ensure the fact that every state in that union has a republic form of government. Other than that, everything is left up to the states. Now, that's not quite your local jurisdiction, but that's where that lies. The national government cannot do anything to the states. They cannot go into the state and tell the governor of that state how to do this or do that. Every state's different in where it's geographically laid. So what goes on in Colorado may not necessarily go on in Indiana. So that's why the founders knew that. So, no, the national government cannot go into a state. If they do, then they're in violation of the Constitution.
So what you're saying, does that follow all the way down that the state can't go into the county and the county can't go into the municipality or the township?
No. What happens in the state stays in the state. So the governor brings out a law through the legislature in the state that the speed limit on the interstates are, we'll just say, 65. Okay, so every county in that state, the law is, speed limit on the interstate, 65. That will include every county in your state normally. So things of that nature, the governor has complete control of. But you also have to understand that the interstate is the national government. That's who owns it. Okay? Now, if you want to go deeper to that, the reason Eisenhower made them the way they did was because in World War II, there was a lot of big winged bombers that needed to make emergency landings. We were transitioning from prop to jet, five times quicker, five times faster. And on interstate highways, except in the mountains, you will see an area where it's always 3 to 5 miles long. That straight stretch. That's in case like a bomber of the military had to make an emergency landing. You'll notice on your interstates you don't have poles with wires like you see on county roads or state roads. You don't see any of that. That's the reason. And the lookouts that everybody stops at when they go on a trip, oh, they are beautiful, except they were originally made for anti-aircraft guns. So you have them on the east side of the Appalachians, and you have them in the Rocky Mountains. That's anti-aircraft positions. That was Eisenhower's purpose of it, because he knew what was going on in Germany. He saw it. So it was patterned after that. But no, the national government cannot come into the state and tell the state how to do what to do. The state constitution governs the state, not the national. The national constitution only governs the national. So the national senate, the national house, the national judiciary, those kind of things are governed by that. Your state constitution governs everything else in your state. Your county does not have a constitution. It may have ordinances, but it does not have a constitution. So therefore, even the counties follow the state regulations and their laws. So,
thank you for your response. Yes, sir. Thank you for your response.
Yes, sir.
Judge Waters, Bruce Marion, I'm one of the interim from Massachusetts, and last week when you covered some information with regard to a lot of our laws being codified, and the fact that really were kind of never intended to be codified, and Congress, the Senate, and the House will more look at all of these and determine what we might potentially end up doing with, you know, what we're doing with them. I started to think in terms of if these codes that we currently have, all these U.S. codes that kind of detail what the laws are,
legal.
As far as the judiciary, if say the Senate to basically say we're scrapping all of this and we're going to go back to the drawing board and determine what it is that we need for laws, what laws would the judiciary, what laws would all of you guys end up enforcing?
Okay. Well, not all the codes are bad in the sense of what they cover. When the founders put the Constitution together, they didn't have aircraft. They didn't even have metal boats. They had wooden. The laws for the Navy were much different than what they are now, just because of that. However, the U.S. Code, that whole section, that includes the IRS code and all that, that will all go away because we don't deal with the UCC. But we will, our Congress will take some of that stuff and review it and turn that over to not corporate law, but not even statutory law, but under republic law. So, you know, we're going to have a big job ahead of us as a republic in transitioning. The one I gave earlier about USC 1815-31, that's a law that we will keep. We just won't be calling it United States Code. We'll call it by something different because it deals with the murder of a baby in the womb. So we will keep a lot of the stuff that you might see on U.S. codes. However, we will have to word them differently, and there will be some that we scrap completely, but speed limit signs are a good thing to have. and they open, you know, out in the county area. There's all kinds of things that they've done that morally are good. It's just they're in a setting to where they're there for them to make money off you. And, you know, I tell people. All right, I don't know who's doing that, but we can't have it.
Who's playing cards?
Mark, can you see who's doing that? Stop. Okay. But yeah,
So I'm anticipating that when we start to work through those things, we're going to most likely be using the same process that are used to create these laws, not all over again.
To a degree, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Laws about aircraft and kidnapping and like that, we'll keep those things because those are moral laws. We'll just call them by a different thing, not U.S. code.
Understood. Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody
Joseph
else?
Waters. Yes, sir. This is Elizabeth Lehman from North Carolina.
Yeah.
You mentioned that you sent out a document. Is there an email list that I might get a hold of or be on? Because I did not receive a document, and I would love to have that document to read over.
Okay. When did you come into the Republic?
October 1st, sir.
That's why. All right. Sandy sends all that out. So if you can, I don't know if she has your info yet or not, but you can get a hold of her maybe tomorrow sometime and just make sure that your name is on her list. But she sends out all this stuff. So.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Yes. Anybody else?
Good evening, sir. Yes, good evening, sir.
Yes.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, hi, this is John Herman from Texas, and I just wanted to make sure that I had your email correct, or if you would give it to me again. Do you want people that, just anybody voting on the Zoom or the phone call, or is that just the, select group?
Well, technically, we are the judicial, but we have a lot of other branch people that get on this call, too. So anybody that's on this call can vote on it.
Okay, yeah, I'm not in the
cases.
Yeah, I'm just started attending, so I don't occupy a position or anything like that yet, but I would like to be able to vote on it.
Yeah, that's fine, yeah. Anybody
and
who gets on these calls.
Okay. And your email, sir?
Okay. So everybody take this down if you don't have it. L as in Lima. E as in Edward. P as in Papa. A as in Alpha. Republic. At gmail.com. So that's LEPA Republic at gmail.com.
Excellent. Thank you, sir.
Sir. Anybody else? Well,
Judge Waters?
Yes.
C.W. Long here from Free State, Arizona. Who else can have a gun in the courtroom? Would like people that sit in the viewing of the trial, or the jury members, or anybody else other than the staff and the bailiff?
Well, what we realized way back when was, back in the 1800s, the judge had a weapon, the bailiffs had a weapon, and the jury members, and the people listening and watching, they all had to turn their weapons in. But that was to ensure the fact no gunfight broke out in the middle of the court.
Bingo.
So basically just a staff. But they, you know, everybody in the Republic that's going to have a weapon and carry it has to basically show that they're certified with it. They've been through training with it. They know how to use it properly. They know how to clean it. There's more to shooting a gun than just shooting a gun.
Sure.
So if you're a gun owner, you know, you know the procedures you had to go through to be fairly decent with it. That's what we're going to require everybody else, too. And how age, I don't know. The Congress is going to have to deal with that one. That's not something that we can do. But if they say 16 or 18 or whatever, then that'll be the law. But primarily for the courtroom itself, be the judge, the bailiffs, and maybe the stenographer. Other than that, I don't know. I wouldn't think so.
That's what I'm figuring, but I just wanted to clarify.
Not a problem.
All right, sir. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Justice Waters?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Kent again. Not hearing any other questions, I do want to explore one other issue. You were talking last week in the call about the recognition that the Trump administration may give or not give to the Republic organization. What about all the other organizations around that claim to be the Republic also? How do you think that will be fairly dealt with in giving recognition as to who is actually the Republic?
If they've turned their paperwork into the Hague, into the UN, into the World Post Office General in the world, to the Joint Chiefs, if they've done all that after we've done it, then they're lagging behind and they can't be stood up. We're next in line, you might say. So that's how they would differentiate from us to them. There's another group of called the Republic out there that ends in a K, and they're trying to seat all the counties in every state, thinking that they have to do that before they get stood up. Well, that would be five or six different generations. You know how hard it is to get a county stood up? Over a period of time, people lose interest. The law, international law, requires that under the Northwest Ordinance, the state government itself is stood up, then the counties, not the counties and then the state. So a lot of these other groups, they claim they are the right one, but I've talked with a lot of their people. I've been on a lot of their conference calls, and quite honestly, they're just kind of whacked a little bit. They're not doing it lawfully. That's the first thing we had to learn was international law when it came to this. So that's all I can tell you about the difference between them and us. I think we're the only ones that state that the people have the power, where they, for the most part, they want complete control of the power. That's more of a dictatorship. That's not who we are.
So we can be assured that this group is the first in time. This is not something that's then going to become a battle between different groups.
No. We're not going to say, here we are, stand us up. The military is going to come to us and say, it's your turn. We're going to stand you up.
Okay.
So
thank you.
You know, yes.
I yield.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Yes, Ms. Waters, this is Robin, Alabama, Free State.
Yeah.
Speaking of that, will we permit these other groups to come into our republic?
Well, at that point in time, everybody in the country will be in the republic. Because that will be the law form of the country. It'll be the government of the country. From the national to state, it'll all be republic. So everybody will be in it. A lot of people aren't going to like it. A lot of people aren't going to even know about it until someday, you know, sometime down the road. But we have always said that you're going to go to sleep in a democracy and wake up with a republic. So that's kind of the way it's going to end.
Well, the reason I asked, speaking with someone else out of state today that called me and said that he had a friend, but they were in Michigan. Well, I think it was another state, but looking at Michigan, and he was talking about friend that he was with over the weekend talking about setting up the state assemblies, and I said we start with the county assemblies, so I wasn't sure if it was the same group or not, and he didn't know either, but he was going to put that other person in touch with me, and so I'm anxious to see if that happens and then if they truly are in our republic or another group.
Yeah.
So I'll let you know. If that does happen.
I know there's like 17 other groups out there. Some of 17. Them are just state militias that claim that they are the lawful ones, but they can't be. A lot of the state militias here in Indiana, I've talked to over the years, the people in charge of that particular militia, they want full control. They don't even understand that they fall under the governor of the state. They think that they're it. That's not the way it's worked. It works out that way. Everybody in the republic government works for somebody else. And that's the beauty of it. Nobody is sitting high on the perch all by themselves. Everybody's accountable to somebody else. So that keeps it on the straight and narrow.
Wonderful. Thank you. I yield.
Thank you. Anybody else?
Justice Waters, this is Roy Blankshain from Michigan.
Yes.
I have a question about, can you enlighten us any more about Tim Turner and what has recently occurred?
Yeah. Well, I'm sure one of these days he's going to want to talk to everybody, but I'll fill you in with this. In 14, when he got arrested and kidnapped, Gene Hertler and I, Gene Hertler went to his trial and saw the sham that took place. And the judge actually told him, right before they carted him off, you're not going to prison because of something you've done. You're going to prison because of something you could do.
Right.
That's the way the Clintons wanted it. That's the way the Obamas wanted it. You cut the head of the snake off, the snake dies, right? That was their belief. Well, we did lose about two-thirds of the people that we had. But look at where we're at now. It took that long for God to send us exactly the right people. And see, you guys are part of that right now. Every time that my wife Beth and I would vet somebody, it would be, well, we just know that God sent us here. I've not heard anybody say, well, I woke up one morning and feeling good. I just decided to join. No, it didn't work that way. So, for starters, we understood, and Gene Herger and I talked about this many times, that when he got out and was set free, the Republic would be stood up. So Thursday, I'm talking to him, called him, about 10:30 in the morning, my time, and was talking to him, and he said he just saw on Fox News where Biden had signed to let all those prisoners that are at home with the ankle bracelet on to go free because of the COVID stuff that he's some of them got pardoned, others got commuted. And he was waiting to find out. We found out, that was Wednesday, excuse me, and we found out Wednesday night that, yes, about 4 o'clock, he called up to Montgomery, the Capitol, and they were all singing and happy, and he was one that was going to get that ankle bracelet off. So he's as good as a free man now with nothing on his record.
Amen.
So,
hallelujah. Yes.
I don't know if that happened yet this weekend, but he was expecting by next Wednesday he won't have to deal with that anymore. Until that time took place, then he would have to deal with it. But I'll promise you that the day he gets that thing off, the next call that we have on a Wednesday night, he'll tell leadership exactly what happened. I may have him come on the judicial sometime and after the new year and have him talk about that whole thing. I think it's important for everybody to know about that.
Roger, this is Governor Reed.
Hey, how you doing, Governor?
I just left former President Turner 6 hours ago. I'm pulling into my house in Louisiana. I spent the weekend with him, and we celebrated, and I was just going to give you a quick update on the latest. He goes to Montgomery to sign the paperwork tomorrow, and by Friday, they're supposed to take off the equipment, the monitoring equipment. He said possibly, they could do it when he goes and signs the papers tomorrow, hopefully, but regardless, by next Friday, he's going to be a free man, free to travel and free to do whatever he wants. So I just thought I'd give it the latest since I was just with him. So I yield.
Well, thank you.
Hallelujah.
You're welcome. My younger days, I would say things like, in the spiritual sense, I carry around a spiritual baseball bat, and when the enemy comes after me, I like to start swinging. And here you've got a man who basically started this whole thing under the direction of the Father. And he was wrongly accused, wrongly arrested and kidnapped, wrongly imprisoned. And he got out, and he almost got in trouble here about a month or so ago. They caught him on a Zoom call or something. And they told him he couldn't do that anymore. And they do everything they can to keep him under their little finger. So the way this works now in the spiritual sense, the guy that they arrested to shut his mouth up so they could go on and break every law in the book and make money doing it, that very man that they arrested is now going to be free, is the Attorney General of the entire Republic, and they will now fall under his jurisdiction.
Yeah.
That's called justice.
Yeehaw.
Beautiful.
So, yeah, that's called. Somebody trying to say something?
Yes, this is Debbie Sharp, North Carolina. What is your opinion about about the rate of our growth.
Well, I don't want to say anything that, you know, I don't like to self-boast myself, but the experience I've been through, one of the things that I have learned is God will use me sometimes and give me little snapshots of things that are to come. And I won't get the whole picture, but I'll get enough to know what may be taking place. And after the nation state groups shredded the republic back in 2012, we went from a couple million down to, I don't know, maybe 1,000. That's a huge drop. That I used to call that the Gideon syndrome. You know, Gideon started out with 10,000 in the morning. When he went to bed that night, he only had 300. I think I'd be a little bit worried too. And so that's kind of where we were. And over the years, we would have this person show up and go away. One would come, three would leave. I mean, just, you know, we were just holding the seats is all we were doing. And I used to tell people, I said, no, you got to get your head around the fact today we're meeting in a restaurant where five new people show up, but one day we're going to be going into the football arenas where they got 70,000-80,000, and we're going to be start signing people up that way. That's just kind of what I saw. And so me and another guy back in, I believe it was May, we got on a Zoom call with some people, and that's how this whole thing really started. I mean, I didn't have anything to do with it, but we were just talking about people, about the Republic, and that thing caught on like wildfire and started going across the country in other people's venues. And the next thing you know, people started to show up.
We're in Q&A right now.
We were having 20 people here, 15 there, until about 5 months ago.
Pretty good.
There's Sandy told me that they had 6,000 show up 1 week, 4,000 the next. I mean, we had, where we're at now, we're about 4,000 strong in leadership, okay? That's not people that just want to be in the Republic. That's people wanting a seat somewhere. So we are blessed to the point to where I feel like that the Republic in general has been faithful, not only to themselves, but to our oath, to the Creator himself. And, you know, once the Creator gets to the point to where he knows he can trust you as an individual or as a group, look out, because now the deeper things start flowing in. The understanding becomes much greater. And that's what we've seen happen with this Republic. And from what Sandy tells me right now, most of the Northwest Ordinance, that kind of seats, are pretty much done. We've got 50 governors. We only got two or three to swear in. We've got most of our senators, because you only need 100. And we've got most of our judicial, and we're waiting. We've probably got half of the reps. So we are very close. We've never been this close, ever, in the Republic, to fulfilling the Northwest Ordinance. So we are happy, we are pleased, and we are basically ready to go. So we're bumping into the batter's box, say, getting ready to start swinging.
Thank you. I yield.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Anybody else?
This is Waters. This is again Robin in Alabama. We have an older politician, Jabbo Wagner, here in Alabama. And I think it's another senator is writing a book about him. And it seems like, because he's been in power for so long, I think he's 86 years old, And he decides what bills go in and out of, I guess, the legislature in their sessions when they go back in, which probably won't happen in March. But I thought when politicians wrote books that it was a way of money laundering. Is that a true way of me thinking about it? People writing books for profit?
Oh, yeah. It happens all the time.
Okay.
Trump, during his first term, he had, like, what, John Bolton and a couple other people write books about mm-hmm. him while he was still in office. And bad things. But it sold. Mm-hmm. He made them millions. You know, so, yeah, that's... I'd say you're pretty accurate on that.
Okay, just following
Nobody's
my intuition.
Nobody's ever write a book. Huh?
I was just following my intuition. Go ahead, sir.
No, I was just going to say, nobody writes a book about how great somebody is and make money on that, would they? Everybody already knew that. No, it's got to write something bad. That way you get money. You know, people like the New York Times will buy your contract and give you millions of dollars up front to write a book about that because they know it's a big money maker. But then, you know, the guy that authored the book compared to Trump, you just, you know, you made an enemy there. And I don't know if I would want to make Trump my enemy. Just saying. That might not be the best idea. So, well, look, guys, I'm going to have to go. I appreciate everybody being here. I thank you, everybody, and have a nice holiday season with your families and so forth. Go over this last document I sent out, and if those of you that don't have the document, you can get with Sandy, make sure that she's got your email, and she can send it to you. Huh?
And
make sure that you vote whether you want to go on Zoom or not. That's not my decision. That's yours. So have a safe 2 weeks. May the angels of heaven be out before you to protect you and guide you. I want all of you to come back at the beginning and be January the 5th. That will be the first Sunday in January. So everybody take care, and we'll see you then.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Justice Water.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
God bless you.
God bless.
Thank you, Justice Waters.
Thank you, Justice Waters.
Justice Turner. Go.